You know, Barb, those thieves that are in the appliances, in the car repairs, and on, and we see people that are like that. They're always coming. Something's always wrong. The car's broken down. The kids are getting sick. In other words, God is not able, because of their lack of giving or doing it wrongly, he is not able to come in and be a shield to them as he was to Abram.
That's right.
And to rebuke the devourer. And that's sad, because they're missing it at that point.
And as you say, Darren, we can open doors to the devil by not doing something that God has asked us to do. And that is one door we can open, and we can bring sickness in. We can bring financial disaster in. I know some people that go from crisis to crisis. They have no peace in their life. And it's because one thing you could look at, and if you're going through this in your life, we're not saying that not tithing is always that brings the financial crisis or the sickness. That's not the only thing. But look at your tithing and look at how you do it. Do you leave it till the very last, till all your bills are paid, or do you pay it first? And we're going to go into the first fruits. But right now, we're going to go to Genesis 28. Now, here were two men in the early part of the Old Testament that gave out of grateful hearts and thankful hearts. And here in Genesis 28, 20 through 22, we see that Jacob has fled from his father's house because he had taken the birthright away from his brother and was feeling the heat from that. And so they sent him to his uncle Laban. His mother did. His mother sent him to his uncle Laban to be there for a while and then come back home after things had cooled down. Well, things didn't cool down, and in fact, his mother, who took the curse upon herself, never saw her son Jacob again, which I feel is really sad. But Jacob is sleeping here. He's run from his house, and he's going to his uncle Laban, and he's sleeping overnight. They didn't have motels then, so he found a rock to sleep on, and God brought him a vision that night. He is recorded here after God told him that he would take care of him and keep him. He makes a vow to God, and here he says, as God told him he would keep him safe, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, which he did, Darren, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And he named the place Bethel, which is the face of God. And of all that thou dost give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. And God honored him for that vow. And he did give a tenth of what he got from his uncle Laban. And he accumulated great herds from his uncle Laban in the 20 years that he was with him.
And then what goes on to say, I believe that he was blessed double in 1 year.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That's like he got 100-fold return on all of his efforts there.
That's right. And his uncle Laban is known to have cheated him during that 20-year process and didn't give him the wife that he had wanted either. So he cheated him several times. And if you're working for an employer that is cheating you on a regular basis and you know it, your tithing can undo that. In Jesus' name, we say it can undo that.
We've seen people that hung in there and they kept a good attitude and they were really being abused, messed over, we would say today in street language. They were just flat out being cheated. They were passed over for promotions and, you know, they were isolated in the workplace and so on. But I'll tell you, if you keep your attitude toward the Lord right, first of all, toward yourself, and don't end up calling yourself a loser and no good because you are behind the eight ball, so to speak, and you keep your attitude right toward everything and keep trusting God and keep giving, if he can't bless you there, he will take you out of there. But the blessings are not gone.
That's right.
Don't ever believe that, well, I just lost out. I mean, well, anyway, blessed be the name of the Lord. No. Hang in there and say, I have planted. I have praised the Lord. I've kept my heart right. I'm not hating my boss. I'm saying as an act of my will, I choose to speak judgment. And I would take that Isaiah 54:17. I speak judgment to the words that are spoken against me. And that might be a poor job review. They might give you a rotten evaluation. You can judge those words in righteousness, but keep your heart right before God.
Yes.
And if he doesn't elevate you there, he'll elevate you someplace else. And fight fear, and don't be afraid to move.
Mm-hmm.
God may have a blessing for you across town.
That's right.
But so don't hang in there and say, well, abuse is just what I got to put up forever. That's not what the Bible says.
That's right. And finally, Jacob did have enough also. Enough is enough, he said, and he left his uncle Laban. And he was a very successful man, both in business and in the spiritual. God finally changed his name to Israel, and he is the father of the 12 sons of Israel, who are the 12 tribes.
Now, Barb, I'm going to go back here to Rebecca, the one that set her son up here for the blessing. She was listening, and she knew how it worked. And I'm just going to read this about here in the 27th chapter of Genesis. And it came about when Isaac was old, his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his oldest son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I'm old and do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Now, Rebecca was listening, and she heard that. And she didn't want it to go to this boy. She wanted to go to the other boy.
Well, because God had really given her that promise that the older would serve the younger. That was a promise God had given her. And so many people say Jacob was a deceiver here.
Right.
I do not believe that. I believe he was a supplanter, but he was not a deceiver because this is what God meant. He wanted Jacob to be the ruler of his people.
But Mama here, Rebecca, got in there, and
yes,
she's going to manipulate things.
She is, but...
And she brought a curse on herself. And I'm saying to you, parents, some of you say, well, I know tithing is just so hard for us as parents, and I just don't know about teaching this to my children. You're bringing a curse on yourself when you don't do that. And I would say this, the way to teach children to give is when you give them a dollar, say, now, 10 cents of that dollar belongs to Jesus. And maybe you don't give it to them in a dollar bill, you give them 10 dimes. And you teach them, now you take this, now we're going to Sunday school next Sunday, and why don't you put it in Sunday school? Now you're beginning to teach them a giving concept as little children. That whole dollar is not theirs. You need to tell them that. Well, don't bring a curse on yourself, parents, by not teaching your children. If it's difficult for you, you work till you get the revelation so you can teach it to your children, but you teach it by example. And I believe here we have a situation here where Mom brought a curse on herself. And I've seen parents would say, God, put it on me. Put sickness on me, but don't put it on my child. Well, in a way, we're doing that with the giving. If we don't teach our children to give, we're bringing a curse on ourselves and even passing that on down to our children. Mm-hmm. And in some families, Barbara, I believe the curse of the generations came in. If we knew what great-grandpa and grandpa and dad did, really did, maybe we'd understand some of the curses on our lives. But those curses can be broken in the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Well, and I believe, Darren, that so much value is put on our daily living. I really believe too much emphasis is put on how we look, how we eat. Eating is a big thing in people's lives. And how we spend our leisure time. A great amount of money is put into leisure time. Is put into possessions. And here when Jacob was asking God, he says, help me, keep me on my journey, give me food to eat and garments to wear. It reminds me of that verse in Matthew 6 that says, God knows that we need all these things. He knows that we need clothes. He knows that we need food. And he knows that we need shelter. And he's going to take care of all those things. In fact, in Matthew 6:31, it says, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? And that fills so many of people's daily conversation, what they eat, what they look like, what they do. And he says, for all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. As we seek the things of God first, he's going to give us everything that we need in the physical.
Okay, let me say it this way. Tithing and giving are not an issue of the checkbook or the pocketbook. It's an issue of the heart.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
That's really what that's saying there in Matthew 6.
Mm-hmm.
We need to set our hearts to righteousness, first of all, that we're going to do it God's way. And there's a saying from many years ago that goes like this, I will to will the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could say it this way, and this will begin to set your will. If you will say this, I will to will the will of God when it comes to giving, when it comes to tithing. I'm going to align my will to be with God's will. Now, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to go with. denying my feelings, denying reason, I'm going to go with God.